Hello and welcome to Sunday Showcase. I am Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my pleasure to welcome for the last time this summer Richard Manette, Artistic Director of the Stratford Festival of Canada. Welcome, Richard.
Hello, Damiano.
Are we ready for this? The last and final installment of perhaps the greatest love story ever written, the story of Romeo and Juliet?
Well, I'm ready. Of course, I have an inkling of what happens at the end because I played the part.
Many times, I understand, and directed the play as well. But I think there may be a few listeners out there, maybe that lone listener who doesn't know about the play. And there may be a few of these every year when they come to Stratford who may not know how a Shakespeare play ends or the story. What do you do for these people?
Well, it's a great surprise, right? It's like seeing a new play. I remember the playwright Michel Tremblay coming to Stratford, and I had directed a production of Romeo and Juliet, and he was going to come to see it because he had never seen the play on stage.
Michel Tremblay.
So, you know, we take for granted that everybody has seen it hundreds and hundreds of times.
Well, you must have seen many productions of Romeo and Juliet. As you know, Romeo and Juliet is in itself a cultural industry around the world, both on theater and film.
Yes, and in opera. So, yes, I've seen it often.
So, what do you think makes this play so enduring?
Well, it's the language, of course. But Shakespeare is... genius is remarkable for something else. He creates these characters that live in our consciousness and our subconsciousness. You know, everybody knows who Hamlet is, even if you've never seen it. Everybody knows what Sir John Falstaff is like, even if you haven't seen Henry IV. And everybody knows who Romeo and Juliet are because they're archetypal. And you see something of yourself. They're just larger than life characters, and he invented them.
Romeo and Juliet is really a story of young people in love. Of course, Romeo and Juliet have been played by older actors as well. But where do you stand on this?
Well, Juliet is 14. We don't know how old Romeo is, but you could never find a 14-year-old actor who would be able to say that verse with conviction and beauty. So I'm not interested in the age of the actor. I want them to convince me that they're young, and I want to hear those words because that's how we tell the story. I think if you were doing a film of Romeo and Juliet, as Zeffirelli did, I think there you want to see very youthful people. But I don't go to the theater to have a documentary look at somebody's age. I mean, I'm not interested remotely.
And in Shakespeare's own time, she would have been played by a boy.
That's correct. Imagine.
Well, Richard, as we move to the broadcast tonight of Act 3 of Romeo and Juliet, I want to thank you for guiding us throughout this season, and I look forward to a 10th season of the Stratford Festival on CBC Radio 1 and Radio 2.
Thank you very much, Damiano.
A pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to take our seats for the last act of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, directed for the Stratford Festival's 50th anniversary by Miles Potter.
The fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn, no nightingale. Look, love, what envious streaks do lace the severing clouds of yonder east. Night's candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountaintops. I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Yon light is not daylight. I know it. It is some meteor that the sun exhales to be to thee this night a torchbearer and light thee on thy way to Mantua. Therefore stay yet. Thou needest not to be gone.
Let me be tamed. Let me be put to death. I am content, so thou wilt have it so. I'll say yond gray is not the morning's eye. 'Tis but the pale reflex of Cynthia's brow. Nor that is not the lark whose notes do beat the vaulty heaven so high above our heads. I have more care to stay than will to go. Come, death, and welcome. Juliet wills it so. How is my soul? Let's talk. It is not day.
It is. It is. Hie, hence. Be gone. Away. It is the lark that sings so out of tune, straining harsh discords and unpleasing sharps. Some say the lark makes sweet division. This doth not so, for she divideth us. Oh, now be gone. More light and light it grows.
More light and light, more dark and dark our woes.
Mother,
nurse?
Your lady mother's coming to your chamber. The day is broke. Be wary. Look above.
Then window, let day in and let life out.
Farewell. Farewell. One kiss and I'll descend.
Oh, wilt thou be gone so? Love, Lord, I husband, friend. I must hear from thee every day within the hour. For in a minute there are many days. Oh, by this count I shall be much in years ere I again behold my Romeo.
Farewell. Farewell. I will omit no opportunity to may convey my greetings, love, to thee.
Oh, think'st thou we shall ever meet again?
I doubt it not. And all these woes shall serve for sweet discourse in our times to come.
Oh, God, I have an ill-divining soul. Methinks I see thee, now thou art so low, as one dead in the bottom of a tomb. Either my eyesight fails or thou look'st pale.
Trust me, love, in my eyes so do you. Dry sorrow drinks our blood. Adieu. Adieu.
That calls. It is my lady mother. Is she not down so late or up so early? What unaccustomed cause procures her hither?
Why, how now, Juliet?
Madam, I am not well.
Evermore weeping for your cousin's death?
What?
Wilt thou wash him from his grave with tears? And if thou couldst, thou couldst not make him live. Therefore, have done. Some grief shows much of love, but much of grief show still some warmth of wit.
Yet let me weep for such a feeling lost.
Well, girl, thou weep'st not so much for his death as that the villain lived which slaughtered him.
What villain, madam?
That same villain, Romeo.
God pardon him. I do with all my heart. Yet no man like he to grieve my heart.
That is because the traitor murderer lives.
Aye, madam, from the reach of these my hands.
We will have vengeance for it, fear thou not. And then I hope thou wilt be satisfied.
Indeed, I never shall be satisfied with Romeo till I behold him dead. Is my poor heart so for a kinsman vexed?
But now I'll tell thee joyful tidings, girl.
And joy comes well in such a needy time. What are they, I beseech your ladyship?
Well, well. Thou hast a careful father, child. One who, to put thee from thy heaviness, hath sorted out a sudden day of joy that thou expect'st not. No, I looked not for.
Madam, in happy time, what day is that?
Mary, my child, early next Thursday morn, the gallant, young, and noble gentleman, the county Paris, at St. Peter's Church, shall happily make thee there a joyful bride.
Now, by St. Peter's Church and Peter, too, he shall not make me there a joyful bride. I pray you, tell my lord and father, madam, I will not marry yet. And when I do, I swear it shall be Romeo, whom you know I hate, rather than Paris. These are news indeed.
Here comes her father. Tell him so yourself and see how he will take it at your hands.
When the sun sets, the earth doth drizzle dew, but for the sunset of my brother's son, it rains downright. How now a conduit, girl, but still in tears, ever more showering. How now, wife, have you delivered to her our decree?
Aye, sir, but she will none. She gives you thanks. I would the fool were married to her grave.
So, take me with you. Take me with you. Why? How? Will she none? Doth she not give us thanks? Is she not proud? Doth she not count her blessed, unworthy as she is, that we have wrought so worthy a gentleman to be her bride?
Not proud you have, but thankful that you have. Proud can I never be of what I hate, but thankful even for that hate that is meant love.
How? Chopped logic? What is this? Proud, and I thank you, and I thank you not, and yet not proud, Mistress Minion, you. Thank me no thanking, so proud men are proud, but settle your fine joints gainst Thursday next to go with Paris to St. Peter's Church, or I will drag thee on a hurdle thither. Out, you green sickness carrier, and out, you baggage, you tallow face.
Fie, what are you, mad?
Oh, good father, I beseech you on my knees. Hear me with patience, but to speak a word.
Hang her, young baggage, disobedient wretch, I tell thee what. Get thee to church this Thursday, or never after look me in the face. Speak not, reply not, do not answer me, my fingers itch. Why, we scarce thought us blessed that God had lent us but this only child, but now I see this one is one too much, and that we have a curse in having her out of our hilding.
God in heaven bless her! You are to blame, my lord, to rate her so.
And why, my lady wisdom, hold your tongue, good prudence. Smatter with your gossips, go.
I speak no treason.
Oh, God, your good e'en.
May not one speak.
Peace, you mumbling fool. Utter your gravity or a gossip's bowl, for here we need it not.
You are too hot.
God, get it, make me mad. Day, night, work, play, alone in company, still my care hath been to have her matched. And having now provided a gentleman of noble parentage, of fair domains, youthful and nobly lined, stuffed, as they say, with honorable parts, proportioned as one's thoughts could wish a man, and then to have a wretched, puling fool, a whining mammet in her fortune's tender to answer, I'm not wed, I cannot love, I am too young, I pray you pardon me. And but you will not wed, I'll pardon you. Grace, where you will, you shall not house with me. Look to it. Think, aunt, I do not use to jest. Thursday is near, lay hand on heart, advise, and you be mine, I'll give you to my friend, and you could not hang, beg, starve, die in the streets. For by my soul I'll ne'er acknowledge thee, nor what is mine shall never do thee good. Just do it, bethink you. I'll not be forsworn.
Is there no pity sitting in the clouds that sees into the bottom of my grief? Oh, sweet my mother, cast me not away. Delay this marriage for a month, a week. Or if you do not, make the bridal bed in that dim monument where Tybalt lies.
Talk not to me, for I'll not speak a word. Do as thou wilt, for I have done with thee.
Oh, God! Oh, nurse! How shall this be prevented? My husband is on earth, my faith in heaven. What sayest thou, nurse? Hast thou not a word of joy, some comfort, nurse?
Faith, here it is. Romeo is banished, and all the world to nothing that he dares ne'er come back to challenge you. Or if he do, it needs must be by stealth. Then, since the case so stands as now it doth, I think it best you married with the county. Oh, he's a lovely gentleman. Romeo's a dishclout to him. An eagle, madam, hath not so green, so quick, so fair an eye as Paris hath. Be true, my very heart. I think you are happy in this second match, for it excels your first. Or if it did not, your first is dead, or 'twere as good he were as living here, and you no use of him.
Speakest thou from thy heart?
And from my soul, too, else beshrew them both.
Amen.
What?
Well, thou hast comforted me marvelous much. Go in and tell my lady I am gone, having displeased my father to Lawrence Sell to make confession and to be absolved.
Mary, I will, and this is wisely done.
Ancient damnation. Oh, most wicked fiend. Is it more sin to wish me thus forsworn, or to dispraise my lord with that same tongue that she hath praised him with above compare so many thousand times? Go, counselor. Thou and my bosom henceforth shall be twain. I'll to the friar to know his remedy. If all else fail, myself have power to die.
Thank you. on Thursday, sir. The time is very short.
My father Capulet will have it so, and I am nothing slow to slack his haste.
You say you do not know the lady's mind. Uneven is the course, I like it not.
Immoderately she weeps for Tybalt's death, and therefore have I little talked of love. For Venus smiles not in a house of tears. Now, sir, her father counts it dangerous that she do give her sorrow so much sway, and in his wisdom hastes our marriage.
I would I knew not why it should be slowed. Look, sir, here comes the lady toward my cell.
Happily met, my lady and my wife.
That may be, sir, when I may be a wife.
That may be, must be, love, on Thursday next.
What must be, shall be.
That's a certain text.
Come you to make confession to this father?
To answer that, I should confess to you.
Do not deny to him that you love me.
If I do so, it will be of more price being spoke behind your back than to your face.
Poor soul, thy face is much abused with tears.
The tears have got small victory by that, for it was bad enough before their spite.
Thy face is mine, and thou hast slandered it.
It may be so, for it is not mine own. Are you at leisure, Holy Father, now, or shall I come to you at evening, Mass?
My leisure serves me, pensive daughter, now. My lord, we must entreat the time alone.
God shield, I should disturb devotion. Juliet, on Thursday early will I rouse ye. Till then, adieu, and keep this holy kiss.
Oh, shut the door. And when thou hast done so, come weep with me, past hope, past cure, past help.
Oh, Juliet, I already know thy grief. It strains me past the compass of my wits. I hear thou must, and nothing may prorogue it, on Thursday next be married to this county.
Tell me not, friar, that thou hearest of this, unless thou tell me how I may prevent it. Give me some present counsel, or behold, 'twixt my extremes and me, this bloody knife shall play the umpire. I long to die, if what thou speak'st speak not of remedy.
Hold, daughter. I do spy a kind of hope, which craves as desperate an execution as that is desperate which we would prevent. If, rather than to marry County Paris, thou hast the strength of will to slay thyself, then it is likely thou wilt undertake a thing like death to chide away this shame. And if thou darest, I'll give thee remedy.
Oh, bid me leap rather than marry Paris from off the battlements of any tower, or bid me go into a new-made grave and hide me with a dead man in his shroud. Things that, to hear them told, have made me tremble. And I will do it, without fear or doubt, to live an unstained wife to my sweet love.
Hold, then. Go home. Be merry. Give consent to marry Paris. Wednesday is tomorrow. Tomorrow night, look that thou lie alone. Let not the nurse lie with thee in thy chamber. Take thou this vial. Being then in bed, and this distilling liquor, drink thou off. When presently through all thy veins shall run a cold and drowsy humor, for no pulse shall keep his native progress, but surcease. No warmth, no breath shall testify thou livest. The roses in thy lips and cheeks shall fade to wanny ashes. Thy eyes' windows fall like death when he shuts up the day of life. Each part, deprived of supple government, shall stiff and stark and cold appear like death. And in this borrowed likeness of shrunk death, thou shalt continue 2 and 40 hours, and then awake as from a pleasant sleep. Now, when the bridegroom in the morning comes to rouse thee from thy bed, there art thou dead. Then, as the manner of our country is, in thy best robes uncovered on the bier, thou shalt be borne to that same ancient vault where all the kindred of the Capulets lie. In the meantime, against thou shalt awake, shall Romeo by my letters know our drift, and hither shall he come. And he and I will watch thy waking, and that very night shall Romeo bear thee hence to Mantua. And this shall free thee from this present shame, if no inconstant toy nor womanish fear abate thy valor in the acting it.
Give me. Oh, tell not me of fear.
Hold. Get you gone. Be strong and prosperous in this resolve. I'll send a friar with speed to Mantua with my letters to thy lord.
Love give me strength, and strength shall help afford.
Farewell, dear father.
Guests invited here are Reed Kapsira. Hire me 20 cutting cooks. Go, be gone. We shall be much unfurnished for this time. What, is my daughter gone to Friar Lawrence?
Aye, forsooth.
Well, he may chance to do some good on her. A peevish, self-willed harlotry it is.
See where she comes from, Shrip, with Mary, look.
How now, my headstrong? Where have you been gadding?
Where I have learnt me to repent the sin of disobedient opposition to you and your behests, and am enjoined by Holy Lawrence to fall prostrate here, to beg your pardon.
Pardon, I beseech you. Henceforward, I am ever ruled by you.
Send for the county. Go, tell him of this. I'll have this knot knit up tomorrow morning.
I met the youthful lord at Lauren's cell and gave him what becometh love I might, not stepping over the bounds of modesty.
Why, I am glad on this as well. Stand up. This is as it should be. Let me see the county I marry. Go, I say, and fetch him hither now, afore God, this reverend holy friar. All our whole city is much bound to him.
Nurse, will you go with me into my closet to help me sort such needful ornaments as you think fit to furnish me tomorrow?
No, not till Thursday. There's time enough.
Go, nurse, go with her. We'll to church tomorrow.
We will be short in our provisions. 'Tis now near night.
Gosh, I will stir about and all things shall be well. I warrant thee, wife. Go thou to Juliet. Help to deck up her. I'll not to bed tonight. Let me alone. I'll play the housewife of this once. Well, I will walk myself to County Parish to prepare of him against tomorrow. My heart is wondrous light, since this same wayward girl is so reclaimed.
I know the tired are possible, but gentle nurse, I pray thee, leave me to myself tonight, for I have need of many orisons to move the heavens to smile upon my state, which, well thou knowest, is cross and full of sin.
Oh, well.
What? Are you busy, ho? Need you my help?
No, madam. We have culled such necessaries as are behoveful for our state tomorrow. So please you, let me now be left alone, and let the nurse this night sit up with you, for I am sure you have your hands full all with this so sudden business.
Good night. Get thee to bed and rest, for thou hast need.
Farewell. God knows when we shall meet again. I have a faint, cold fear thrills through my veins, which almost freezes up the heat of life. I'll call them back again to comfort me. Nurse, what should she do here? My dismal scene I needs must act alone. Come, vile. What if it be a poison which the friar subtly hath ministered to have me dead, lest in this marriage he should be dishonored because he married me before to Romeo? I fear it is. And yet, methinks it should not, for he hath still been tried a holy man. How if, when I am laid into the tomb, I wake before the time that Romeo come to redeem me? Oh, there's a fearful point. Shall I not then be stifled in the vault, to whose foul mouth no healthsome air breathes in, and there die strangled ere my Romeo comes? Alack, alack! Is it not like that I, so early waking, what with loathsome smells and shrieks like mandrakes torn out of the earth, that living mortals hearing them run mad? Oh, if I walk, shall I not be distraught, environed with all these hideous fears and madly play with my forefather's joints and pluck the mangled Tybalt from his shroud and in this rage with some great kinsman's bone as with a club dash out my desperate brains. Oh, look! He thinks I see my cousin's ghost seeking out Romeo that did spit his body upon a rapier's point. Stay, Tybalt, stay! Romeo, Romeo! Romeo! Here's drink. I drink to thee.
And fetch more spices, nurse.
They call for dates and quenches in the pastry.
Come, sir, sir, the second clock has grown. The curfew bell has rung. It's 3 o'clock. Look to the baked meats, good Angelica. Spare not for cost.
Don't go, you car queen. Go, get it in bed. Please, you'll be sick tomorrow for this night's walk.
No, not a whip, but I have watched. Here now, all night Valetta caught and ne'er been sick. Now, fellow, what hast thou there?
Things for the cook, sir, but I know not what.
Make haste, make haste.
Good faith, this day.
The county will be here with music straight, for so he said he would. I hear him near. Nurse! Wife! What? Ho! Oh, what? Nurse, I say! Go! Waken Juliet! And trim her up! I'll go chat with Paris. Hark! Make me. Make haste! The bridegroom, he has come already! Make haste, I say!
Juliet! First I warrant her she. Why, now? Why, really? Like a bed. Why, love, I say, madam, sweetheart, my bride. What? Not a word.
You take your pennyworth now. Sleep for a week. For the next night, I warrant the county Paris has set up his rest that you should rest but little. God forgive me. Mary and amen. How sound is she asleep? I needs must wake her. Madam, madam. Madam! What? Dressing in your clothes and gown again? I must needs wake you. Lady, lady! Lady! Alas! Alas! Help! Help! My lady is dead! Oh, were the day that ever I was born! Come back with me!
What noise is here?
Oh, a wonderful day.
What is the matter?
Look, look. Oh, heavy day.
Oh, me. Oh, me. My child, my only life. Revive, look up, or I will die with thee. Help, help. Call help.
For shame, Ben Juliet, for her lord is come.
She's dead. Deceased. She's dead, alack the dead.
Alack the dead. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead.
Let me see her. After that, she's cold.
Oh, oh, woe.
Then entertain her, hence to make me wail. Ties up my tongue and will not let me speak.
Come, is the bride ready to go to church?
Ready to go, but never to return.
Have I thought long to see this morning's face? And doth it give me such a sight as this? Love.
Despised, despised, hated, martyred, killed.
But what? Poor one.
My child.
What poor
child. Child. Oh, for shame. Confusion cure lives not in these confusions. Heaven and yourself had part in this fair maid. Now heaven hath all. And all the better is it for the maid. All in her best array, bear her to church. For though fond nature bids us all lament, yet nature's tears are reason's merriment.
All things that we ordain in festival. turned from their office to black funeral, our instruments to melancholy bells.
Sir, go you in, and madam, go with him. And go, Sir Paris. Everyone, prepare to follow this fair course unto her grave.
Oh.
The heavens do lower upon you for some ill. Move them no more by crossing their high will.
If I may trust the flattering truth of sleep, my dreams presage some joyful news at hand. My bosom's lord sits lightly in his throne, and all this day an unaccustomed spirit lifts me above the ground with cheerful thoughts. I dreamt my lady came and found me dead. Strange dreams that give a dead man leave to think and breathe. Such life with kisses in my lips that I revived and was an emperor. Ah, me, how sweet is love itself possessed when but love's shadows are so rich in joy. News from Verona!
How now, Balthazar? Dost thou not bring me letters from the friar? How doth my lady? Is my father well? How doth my Juliet? That I ask again, for nothing can be ill if she be well.
And she is well, and nothing can be ill. Her body sleeps in Keppel's monument, and her immortal part with angels lives. I saw her laid low in her kindred's vault, and presently took post to tell it you. Oh, pardon me
for bringing these ill news, since you did leave it for my office, sir.
Is it even so? Then I defy you, stars. Thou knowest my lodging. Get me ink and paper and hire post horses. I will hence tonight.
I do beseech you, sir, have patience. Your looks are pale and wild and do import some misadventure.
Hush, thou art deceived. Leave me and do the thing I bid thee do. Hast thou no letters to me from the friar?
No, my good lord.
No matter. Get thee gone and hire those horses. I'll be with thee straight. Well, Juliet, I will lie with thee tonight. Let's see for means. Oh, mischief, thou art swift to enter into the thoughts of desperate men. I do remember an apothecary, and hereabouts he dwells, noting his penury. To myself I said, if a man did need a poison now, whose sale is present death in Mantua, here lives a caitiff wretch would sell it him. As I remember me, this should be the house.
What ho! Apothecary!
Who calls? So loud!
Come hither, man.
I see that thou art poor. Hold, there is 40 ducats. Let me have a dram of poison.
Such mortal drugs I have. But Mantua's law is death to any he that utters them.
Art thou so bare and full of wretchedness and fierce to die? The world is not thy friend, nor the world's law. The world affords no law to make thee rich. Then be not poor, but break it and take this.
My poverty, but not my will, consents.
I pay thy poverty and not thy will.
Put this in any liquid thing you will,
and drink it off. And if you had the strength of 20 men, it would dispatch you straight.
There is thy gold. I sell thee poison. Thou hast sold me none. Buy food and get thyself in flesh. Farewell. Come, cordial, and not poison, go with me to Juliet's grave.
for there must I use thee. Be the voice of Friar John.
Welcome from Mantua.
What says Romeo? Or, if his mind be writ, give me his letter.
Going to find a barefoot brother out. One of our order, to associate me here in this city visiting the sick, and finding him, the searchers of the town, suspecting that we both were in a house where the infectious pestilence did reign, sealed up the doors and would not let us forth, so that my speed to Mantua there was stayed.
Who bare my letter then to Romeo?
I could not send it. Here it is again.
Unhappy fortune. Friar John, go hence. Get me an iron crow and bring it straight unto my cell.
Brother, I'll go and bring it thee.
Now must I to the monument alone. Within this 3 hours will fair Juliet wake. She will beshrew me much that Romeo hath had no notice of these accidents. But I will write again to Mantua and keep her at my cell till Romeo come. Poor living corse, closed in a dead man's tomb.
Give me thy torch, boy. Hence, and stand aloof. Yet put it out, for I would not be seen. Give me those flowers. Do as I bid thee. Go. Sweet flower, with flowers thy bridal bed I strew. Oh, woe, thy canopy is dust and stones, which with sweet water nightly I will dew. Or wanting that, with tears distilled by moans. The obsequies that I for thee will keep nightly shall be to strew thy grave and weep. The boy gives warning something doth approach.
Give me that mattock and the wrenching iron. Hold, take thou this letter. Early in the morning see thou deliver it to my lord and father. Give me the light. Upon thy life I charge thee, whate'er thou hearest or seest, stand all aloof and do not interrupt me in my course.
We'll be gone, sir, and not trouble you.
So shalt thou show me friendship. Take thou that. Live and be prosperous, and farewell, good fellow. Thou detestable maw, thou womb of death, gorged with the dearest morsel of the earth, thus I enforce thy rotten jaws to open, and in despite I'll cram thee with more food.
Stop thy unhallowed toil, vile Montague. Can vengeance be pursued further than death? Condemned villain, I do apprehend thee. Obey and go with me, for thou must die.
I must indeed, and therefore came I hither. Good, gentle youth, tempt not a desperate man. Put not another sin upon my head by urging me to fury. Oh, be gone. Stay not, be gone. Live. And hereafter say, a madman's mercy bid thee run away.
I do defy thy conjuration and apprehend thee for a felon here.
Wilt thou provoke me? And have at thee, boy.
Be merciful. Lay me with Juliet.
In faith, I will. Let me peruse this face. Mercutio's kinsman, noble County Paris. What said my man when my betossed soul did not attend him as we rode? I think he told me Paris should have married Juliet. Said he not so, or did I dream it so, or am I mad hearing him talk of Juliet to think it was so? I'll bury thee in a triumphant grave. A grave. Oh no, a lantern, slaughtered youth. For here lies Juliet, and her beauty makes this vault a feasting presence full of light. How oft, when men are at the point of death, have they been merry, which their keepers call a lightning before death? Oh, how may I call this a lightning? Oh, my love, my wife, death that hath sucked the honey of thy breath hath had no power yet upon thy beauty. Thou art not conquered. Beauty's ensign yet is crimson in thy lips and in thy cheeks, and death's pale flag is not advanced there. Tybalt, liest thou there in thy bloody sheet? Oh, what more favor can I do to thee than with that hand that cut thy youth in twain to sunder his that was thine enemy? Forgive me, cousin. Oh, dear Juliet, why art thou yet so fair? Shall I believe that unsubstantial death is amorous, and that the lean, abhorred monster keeps thee here in dark to be his paramour? For fear of that, I still will stay with thee, and never from this palace of dim night depart again. Here, here will I remain with worms that are thy chambermaids. Oh, here will I set up my everlasting rest, and shake the yoke of inauspicious stars from this world-wearied flesh. Eyes, look your last. Arms, take your last embrace. And lips, oh, you, the doors of breath, seal with a righteous kiss a dateless bargain to engrossing death. Come, bitter conduct. Come, unsavory guide. Thou desperate pilot, now at once run on the dashing rocks thy seasick, weary bark. Here's to my love. Thus, with a kiss, I die.
Sir Francis, be my speed. How oft a knight of my old feet stumbled at the grave. Who's there?
This one, a friend, one that knows you well.
Bless be upon him. Tell me, good my friend, what torch is yon that vainly lends its light to grubs and eyeless skulls? As I discern, it burneth in the castle's monument.
It doth so, holy sir. But there's my master, one of you love.
Who is it?
Romeo.
How long has he been there?
Full half an hour.
Go with me to the vault.
I dare not, sir.
Stay then. I'll go alone. Fear comes upon me. Oh, much I fear some ill, unthrifty thing. Romeo!
Alack.
Oh, what blood is this which stains the stony entrance of this sepulchre?
Romeo? Oh, pale. Who else? What? Paris, too, and steeped in blood? Ah, what an unkind hour is guilty of this lamentable chance. The lady stirs.
Oh, comfortable friar. Where is my lord? I do remember well where I should be, and there I am. Where is my Romeo?
There's some noise. Lady, come from that nest of death, contagion, and unnatural sleep. A greater power than we can contradict has thwarted our intents. Come, come away. My husband in thy bosom there lies dead, and Paris too. Come, I'll dispose of thee among a sisterhood of holy nuns. Well, stay not to question, for the watch is coming. Come, go to Juliet. I dare no longer stay.
Go, get thee hence, for I will not away. Huh. What's here? A cup closed in my true love's hand? poison, I see. That being his timeless end. Oh, churl. Drunk all, and left no friendly drop to help me after. I will kiss thy lips. Happily, some poison yet doth hang on them to make me die with a restorative. My lips are warm.
Beat, boy, which way?
Yea, noise. Then I'll be brief. Oh, happy dagger. This is thy sheath. There. Rust! And let me die.
Search about the churchyard. Go. Some of you, whoever you find, attach. Go tell the prince. Run to the Capulets. Raise up the multitude. Some others search.
Here's Romeo's man. We found him in the churchyard.
Hold him in safety till the prince comes hither.
What misadventure is so early up that calls our person from our morning rest?
What should it be that is so shriek abroad?
High Romeo's and Juliet in some Paris, and all run with open outcry towards our monument.
What fear is this which startles in our ears?
Sovereign, he lies at the county Paris slain, and Romeo dead, and Juliet dead before, warm and new killed.
Search, seek, and know how this foul murder comes.
Here, this slaughtered Romeo's man with instruments upon him fit to open these dead men's tombs.
Wife, look how our daughter bleeds.
Oh, me!
Come, Montague, for thou art early up to see thy son, and they are now early down.
What further woe conspires against mine age?
Look, and thou shalt see.
Who? Thou untaught? What manners is in this to press before thy father to a grave?
Seal up the mouth of outrage for a while till we can clear these ambiguities. Bring forth the parties of suspicion.
I am the greatest, able to do least. And here I stand, both to impeach and purge myself condemned and myself excused.
Then say at once that thou dost know in this.
Romeo, there dead, was husband to that Juliet. And she, there dead, that Romeo's faithful wife.
Oh.
I married them. And their stolen marriage day was Tybalt's doomsday, whose untimely death banished the new-made bridegroom from the city. For whom, and not for Tybalt, Juliet pined.
Oh.
You, to remove that siege of grief from her, betrothed, then would have married her perforce to County Paris. Then comes she to me, and with wild looks bid me devise some mean to rid her from this second marriage, or in my cell there would she kill herself. Then gave I her, so tutored by my art, a sleeping potion, which so took effect as I intended, for it wrought on her the form of death. Meantime, I writ to Romeo that hither he should come as this dire night to help to take her from her borrowed grave, being the time the potion's force should cease. But he which bore my letter, Friar John, was stayed by accident, and yesternight returned my letter back. Then all alone, at the prefixed hour of her waking, came I to take her from her kindred's vault, meaning to keep her closely at my cell, till I conveniently could send to Romeo. But when I came, some minute ere the time of her awakening, here untimely lay the noble Paris and true Romeo dead. She wakes, and I entreated her, come forth and bear this work of heaven with patience. But then some noise did scare me from the tomb, and she, too desperate, would not go with me. But as it seemed, did violence on herself. All this I know, and to the marriage her nurse is privy. And if aught in this miscarried by my fault, let my old life be sacrificed some hour before his time unto the rigor of severest law.
We still have known thee for a holy man. Where's Romeo's man? What can he say to this?
This letter he early bid me give his father and threatened me with death going in the vault if I departed not and left him there.
This letter doth make good the friar's words. Their course of love, the tidings of her death, and here he writes that he did buy a poison of a poor apothecary and therewithal came to this vault to die and lie with Juliet. Where be these enemies? Capulet, Montague, see what a scourge is laid upon your hate that heaven finds means to kill your joys with love. And I, for winking at your discords too, have lost a brace of kinsmen. All are punished.
Oh, brother Montague, give me thy hand. This is my daughter's jointure, for no more can I demand.
That I can give thee more. For I will raise her statue in pure gold. But whilst Verona by that name is known, there shall no figure at such rate be set as that of true and faithful Juliet.
As rich shall Romeo's by his lady's lie. Poor sacrifices of our enmity.
A glooming peace this morning with it brings. The sun for sorrow will not show his head. Go hence to have more talk of these sad things. Some shall be pardoned, and some punished. For never was a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo.
Romeo and Juliet, directed by Miles Potter, with original music composed by Mark Disermo. In the cast, you heard Graham Abbey as Romeo and Claire Julien as Juliet, with Wayne Best as Mercutio, Lally Cadeau as the nurse, Tim Campbell as Abram and the watchman, Sarah Dodd as Lady Montague, John Dolan as Montague and the musician, Julie Donovan as Lady Capulet, Keith DeNichol as Friar Lawrence, Aaron Franks as Gregory and the Apothecary, Patrick Gallatin as Paris, David Kirby as Friar John, Raymond O'Neill as the Prince, Caleb Marshall as Benvolio, Miles Potter as Peter, Nicholas Van Burick as Tybalt, Scott Wentworth as Capulet, and Jeffrey Wetch as Samson and Balthasar. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott and Mark Disermo, with special thanks to David Campbell of the Stratford Festival. The associate producers were Rosie Fernandez and Colleen Woods. Romeo and Juliet was produced by Barbara Worthy. If you would like to send us a letter, please address it to Sunday Showcase, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. That's it for tonight. Just a reminder that this program will be aired again tomorrow on Monday Night Playhouse at 9:05 p.m. on CBC Radio 2. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo for Sunday Showcase. Good night.